Hello and welcome everyone. So thank you everyone. Thank you for joining me this evening. And I thought I would just start with a couple of announcements. Next week, August 5th, Sunday night, I will not be here. I'll be teaching somewhere else. I'll be teaching in Cincinnati that weekend. So I'll miss you, but I'll be back the following weekend. So I look forward to that. I want to remind everyone I have the retreat coming up August 17th through 19th in Durango, Colorado. You're welcome to join us for that. There is still room available, and we would love to have you. It will be a small retreat, an intimate retreat, and so it will be a time for us to all connect deeply together. So I invite you to join us for that if it's possible for you. Beyond that, I wanted to just start off with a couple thank yous. Sean, I think she goes by Sassy on Pal Talk in the chat. She sent a generous donation about a month ago, and apparently I had it on my desk in a pile of mail, and I didn't get to it. So as you can tell, I'm a little bit backed up. So thank you so much, Sean. That was so kind of you. Thank you, Brooke, also, and Marcel, and everyone else who offered a donation. This webcast is supported by donation, and so there's a way you can donate on my website. But I just wanted to thank everyone for supporting me in this work. So thank you all so much. Okay, good. So that's all the announcements that I have for this week. And so I'm going to just ring the bell and just invite everyone just to gently, gently come inward. So beautiful, beautiful. So why don't we start just by taking a couple deep, full belly breaths and just giving ourselves permission to fully arrive here, fully arrive in this moment. There's nowhere to go, nothing to do. And I invite you all just to join me in the holiness of this moment, the divinity of this moment. Oh, and can you notice just this sense of quiet spaciousness and peace that is here right now? So despite your own mind, despite your emotional nature, can you join me in noticing that there is a quiet, still place beyond thought, beyond emotion, the very space in which the sound of my voice arises, the very space in which your thoughts arise. There's a quiet, still place right here. And so if your eyes are closed, you can feel this silence, this stillness, this emptiness. And if your eyes are open, instead of noticing the objects across the room from you, I invite you to notice the space which holds everything. That your very mind, your very presence is made up of space. It literally is space. And it's not a quiet, dead space. It's a luminous, alive, vibrating space. And so I'm going to ring the bell one more time. So can you feel the space? And feel the sound of the bell? You feel the vibration spreading out throughout about your spacious nature, your sky-like nature. And so we're simply breathing in and breathing out. And just noticing there is something here that's quiet, that's still, that's gentle. And as you feel into your heart, include your heart in this practice, you may notice your heart is beautiful. It's subtly radiating with innocence, with aliveness, with divinity. And so can you connect with this? Can you connect with the innate goodness of what you are? Will you join me in this? This quiet presence. And so you can feel your feet on the floor. You can feel the aliveness of your feet, the aliveness of your legs. You can bring a sense of awareness into the pelvis and the lower belly, the second chakra, the hara. Take another deep breath and include the solar plexus. And of course, the beauty and the innocence of your heart. And I invite you to open the throat chakra. And just allow this whole, central channel to be open, to begin to radiate with light. Now, all seven chakras are always radiating with light. Your chakras are literally made of light. You are made of light. And so we're acknowledging our divinity. So we're not worrying about thoughts in our head. We're not worried about something that happened earlier today. I invite you to join me in the quietness, the stillness, and the absolute innocence of this very moment. This very moment. And just notice what is beautiful about you. What is radiant, what is alive. And so you're just inviting all the chakra centers to light up, to come alive. Sometimes we're all a little bit sleepy here on planet Earth. We run around with two thoughts in our head. And so I'm inviting you into the holiness of this very moment to let go of your own thoughts, let go of your emotions, and invite your divinity to wake up. And as your divinity wakes up, can you call upon God and say, Lord, will you bless me? Will you fill me? Will you fill this body? Will you fill this form? Will you fill this heart of mine? I've struggled. I've been attached. I've been fighting with this thing and that thing. Lord, can I let this go into you? Will you bless me with your grace? Will you bless me with your grace, Lord? And so this is what we're doing together. We're joining together in the holiness of this present moment and letting go of our pain, letting go of our suffering, and saying, yes, yes, Lord, come into me. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your light and your brilliance and your divinity. Fill me up. I'm willing right now to take responsibility for my life and to drop all these crazy thoughts and these old feelings, these old wars and arguments with people who aren't even present. I'm willing to step into this innocence with you, Lord. I'm willing to step into this innocence with this present moment and simply say yes. Yes. and so beautiful, so beautiful. So thank you all for joining me in this space. Thank you so much. I have a lot of questions I'd like to get to this week. As always, I've been overwhelmed with emails and questions and requests for this and that, but you know, I thought I'd first offer a little story. Actually, I have a couple stories, but maybe I'll start with last night I accidentally left my garage door open. And when I walked into the garage this morning, there was two hummingbirds stuck inside. And so, you know, the first one, you know, I made some noise and, you know, he looked at me and he became a little frightened. And then he made his way out of the garage. But the other one, he just kept banging his head, you know, against the ceiling of my garage. And so I tried to, you know, chase him. I tried to capture him with a blanket and see if I could get him out of there. But I think I was just scaring him more. And so I left him alone. And he just was out there all day, just banging his head against the wall. And I think many of us are like this in life. We have our attention on the wrong thing. So here he was. He had these, you know, three walls and a ceiling where he was enclosed, but there was this giant open space, and I have a two-car garage. I opened the garage door all the way, so there's plenty of room for him to get out, but he kept looking at the same thing and again and again. You know, I know this is often quoted, but Einstein often says, if you repeat yourself doing the same thing over and over again, and nothing changes, you know, that's one of the definitions of crazy. You know, it's just doing the same thing. And so this poor hummingbird was just, you know, smacking his head against the ceiling. He kept just looking up and trying to go up, and because that's where the sky is for him. He's never been in a situation where he couldn't go up. You know, he's a bird. He could go up forever. And so, you know, at some point I tried to work with him. I tried to, you know, eventually I got the hummingbird juice, you know, and I hung it like in the middle of the garage door so he would see it. And eventually he saw it and he made his way out. But see, this is what the spiritual path is like. We bang our head against the wall. We bang our head against the ceiling. Against those same thoughts, we bang our head against our ego again and again and again. And the teaching is there's always another way. Can you open your eyes fully and see the other way? See what's right here in this moment. Can you step out of your mind and see this greater vision? This greater vision. So the title for tonight's talk is Sky Like Mind. You know, yesterday, my daughter and I, we did the toughest hike I've ever done in my life. It was absolutely grueling. I asked a friend who's a ultra runner, and that's someone who runs 100-mile races, you know. And so in Durango, you know, most of my friends, they're some form of extreme athlete of some sort. And sometimes I'll ask them, you know, about a new hike. And so I forgot who I was asking, but he told me, oh, Craig, you should go on this hike. It's super easy. And it was the hardest hike I've ever done. And it was literally like 6 miles straight up a mountain. Of course, when you get to the top, you know, when you get above, you know, 9,000 feet and then 10,000 feet and 11,000 feet, and you get out above tree line, there's something that happens within your consciousness. It's almost like it just explodes open. In Tibetan Buddhism, they call this sky-like mind. where your consciousness opens, where you have 360 view. And I think it's why, so many people love to be in the mountains. So many people love to stand on cliffs and just overlook the vast, spacious ocean. Because it's hard to hold on to petty thoughts when your view is vast, when your consciousness is huge. And so many of my friends and so many people in Colorado, where I live and out west here, they love to hike. They love to spend time in the mountains, and they're always hiking, always going on these grand adventures. But one of the secret things that happens, when you get out of the office, when you get away from, all the drama of life, and you get out in nature and start to climb up, your consciousness, it literally just starts to explode open. So there I was, my daughter and I, in the morning, we sat out very early because it's good to get out there before the clouds form, and you can get caught in thunderstorms, which is quite dangerous in the mountains, and it can turn into hail and lightning real quick. But while we were just walking up this mountain, it was a very hard trail. It was like walking on just rocks, rocks that were between the size of like 3 inches and 6 inches, and so your footing was always a little off, and so we were looking down most of the time, but then occasionally I would look up, and my consciousness would just expand into this hugeness. Now, as I would look down, my thinking mind, my practical mind, would laser in on the place to put my feet, so I wouldn't trip and wouldn't fall, off the side of the mountain. And so I wouldn't roll my ankle. And so this is the nature of our mind. The human mind wants to look at the rocks. It wants to look for problems. It wants to look for footing. And this is great when you're in a dangerous situation, when you're hiking. But the nature of your divinity, when you start to look up at the vastness of the sky, is to be expansive. Is simply be expansive. And so the great challenge here on planet Earth is, can you have 1 foot on Earth and simultaneously 1 foot in heaven? 1 foot on Earth and one in heaven. This is what the great Dakinis do, the sky dancers. In Tibetan Buddhism, they have 1 foot on earth and one in heaven. And so you have a practical sense of focus. This is who I am, this is what I'm doing. But then, of course, you have a vast focus too. And when you have the vast focus and you let go into your vastness, you don't take your humanness so seriously. You don't take it so seriously. If your wife or husband gives you a hard time, if someone dings your car in a parking lot, if your teenagers are teenagers and they rebel and revolt and give you hell about this or that, it's okay. It's okay. And so for those of you who can't, climb in the mountains every day, that's why it's helpful to have a meditation practice where you sit and you simply notice the spaciousness. You simply notice the freedom. The freedom that's right here, right now. And so beautiful. So I thought I'd share those two stories, basically that freedom is here now. It's absolutely here now. And it's important to be practical, to handle the practical stuff here on planet Earth. Okay, so I have a couple questions, and looks like Vishal would like to ask a question. And so, Vishal, I'll release the mic, and you can just ask me the question, and then I'll just do a reminder for everyone. If you can ask just very short, succinct questions, whether it's with the microphone or with email, that would be helpful for me. That way I can get to more of them. And it's also a great spiritual practice just to be really clear about what exactly is your question. What exactly is your question? It's a wonderful practice in discernment and learning to clarify what it is that's happening within you. So Vishal, I'm going to release the mic to you, and you just go ahead.
Hey Craig, good hearing from you again. I've been investigating into the root chakra these past couple of weeks, and the sort of these intense vital energies that are kind of housed there. And I noticed this intense sort of passionate, creative, fiery, vital force kind of moving up from the root chakra and up the body, and but then suddenly the throat like it comes up to the throat closes, and like what you were saying, like these old battles start to resurrect, like the ego starts to just kick in and appropriates the energy, and suddenly this beautiful fire turns into anger, resentment, rage, what have you. And I was wondering if you had something to say about that. But also, there's the sexual energy of the root chakra that I've been looking at as well, and that comes with its own suffering. And I also noticed, though, that when I don't do anything about it, like when I'm not suppressing or indulging, I notice that sort of sexual energy, it starts to kind of, I don't know, ball up in the pelvis, like it almost like it just gets blocked up down there. And I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to release that as well. Thank you.
Yes, and so that's a beautiful question, a question that I've been asked actually a lot, especially in individual sessions. excuse me. And so what you say is true. So within the root chakra, the root chakra is an area of absolute creativity. It's the seat of Kundalini energy. Of course, it's the seat of the reproductive organs. And so if we look at the two ends of the spectrum on this chakra center, where you have literally the energy of the Big Bang, the energy of, what brought us into this world, And most often in the past, spiritual traditions have been linked with, some form of celibacy or being a monk or being a nun. And so that's kind of old school spirituality, thinking that sex is bad and that we shouldn't open these doors and that all desire is bad. But if we rather have a more holistic approach to it and see that we're human beings, which means we're part animal and part divine. We are literally this intersection of a divine nature and an animal nature. And Kundalini, the spiritual awakening, is a force of evolution. It's a force that's evolving us out of being animals and inviting us into being living, breathing, light beings, beings of light. But in order for us to journey, out of being an animal and into a light being, we have to face our humanity. We have to know how to work with it. And Vishal, what you described is opening in that center, and you felt the creative force, you felt the sexual energies there. And then, of course, sometimes as that energy rises up the spine, it'll get to the throat, and the throat is like it's a grand gate. And the throat, oftentimes, we use the throat to repress, sexual energy, emotional energy, angry energy back within us, and say, "Oh no, I don't want to let that out." And so that's what happens when the throat is running in an unconscious manner, where it feels like, oh, there's too much energy here, so I'm just going to close that door and keep it all within me. But Vishal, I know you. You have a good heart. There's no reason for you to repress. There's no reason for you to keep doors shut within you. I'm inviting you to trust yourself, that if you open your throat chakra and give yourself permission to work with these powerful creative energies, as well as powerful sexual energies, that you're not going to run out and be raping and pillaging villages. I have I have absolute trust. Absolute trust that that's not your nature, that you won't do that. But see, housed in the throat chakra is the superego. And so the superego, it gets terrified of these overwhelming energies. Your job is to let them flow from a clear space of discernment. So you let the energy rise and you breathe, you feel, you experience. But there's nothing you need to act upon. And so if, for example, you feel anger, you let the anger flow like a volcano. You don't need to believe any thoughts that are associated with the anger or any fantasies. Sometimes when I was opening this chakra center, I had all kinds of wild thoughts, crazy thoughts, bizarre thoughts. But I would just sit and let it flow. Sit and let the thoughts flow, the feelings flow, the energy flow. So this is the teaching of the Buddha. You sit, you touch the earth, you say, this is what's real. Now, at different times on the path, you'll have different energetic openings. And you may have all sorts of feelings, all sorts of fireworks, all sorts of crazy fantasies, whether sexual fantasies, angry fantasies, fantasies of being, the next Satguru to walk planet Earth. You may have fantasies of, devilish worlds. You may have thoughts of your ancestors, because housed also within the root chakra are your ancestors, your past, your lineage, your parents' thoughts, all their shadows, their wounds. But see, in order to be free, you need to open that door and just let all that psychic energy, all that karmic energy explode through your sky-like mind. Your innocent and awake heart. You let energy flow through it. And you simply don't touch it. You don't get confused by it. You just let it flow. You let it flow. And you trust. With an open heart, open throat, open mind, you trust that you are a holy man. That you are big enough to let all this old humanity, all this old karma, empty out of you. And eventually what you find in the root chakra is this incredible creative force, the kundalini force. And also you begin to discover a different type of awakening. A different type of oneness. A oneness where you feel literally one with matter. With matter. And so throughout history, you know, saints and sages, different religious traditions always tried to get rid of the body. Tried to act like this world is an illusion. But when you realize oneness with matter, literally, you begin to see that all matter is made up of Satchitananda. All light, all matter is made up of truth, just this vibrating truth, this vibrating peace, this vibrating ananda, bliss, this vibrating intelligence. This is like the opposite of a transcendent realization. It's a oneness on the level of matter. Well, you see that your body is literally stardust. Your body, my body, all bodies are made of the same material. Light, spaciousness, peace, truth, bliss, everything. And so the more you're willing to open in all the chakra centers. Within each chakra center, you'll notice a different level of realization, a different experience of oneness. Like in the heart, when your heart is open, you fall in love with everything. Everything. It feels delicious. It feels, you know, so lovely, so intimate, so close. But as you deepen down, down all the way into the root, the feeling of oneness. It feels like a timeless, eternal space where you and the stars are one, you and the universe is one. But not in a cosmic way, literally on the level of matter, on the level of just of a radical vibration. Sri Aurobindo used to talk about this. And the deepest aspect of ourself was this seed. So that matter itself is waiting to wake up. It's literally waiting to wake up. It's waiting for a man or a woman who's courageous enough not to simply transcend and say, I want to get the hell off planet Earth. I want to wake up fully within the Earth, fully within this matter. And so about 100 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, but about 100, maybe 120 years ago, there was these different sages in India. Ramalinga Swamigal, he was one of the first ones, you know, followed by Sri Aurobindo and the mother, Sat Prim. They chose to say, we don't want a light, an enlightenment that is otherworldly, that's transcendent. We want an enlightenment that is absolutely inclusive. We want matter literally to explode open and to realize that matter literally is light. Literally is light. Oh, Sri Aurobindo. You know, his first taste of spirituality is he went and he visited a sage, and then right away he woke up to vast, spacious awareness, you know, to the non-dual state in a transcendent way. And then after a while, he got a little bit bored. He said, nothing changes. I transcended my ego. It didn't change. It did not transform. My emotional nature didn't transform. He used to tell this story. There was this great yogi who was awake in a transcendent way. And then he got bit by a dog with rabies, but he didn't suffer from rabies. And then a number of years later, he got angry. Something happened in his life, and like we all do, we're human. And so he tripped, he fell, he got angry. And then right away, the symptoms of rabies started to manifest throughout his body. And so if we truly want this world to change, if we want Earth to be a heaven world, we have to realize God in matter. If we want suffering to stop, not just for ourselves, but for all, the invitation is for us to open ourselves fully, fully to God's grace, to truly be a bodhisattva, all the way down to the level of matter. And so, Vishal, this is a beautiful question you asked. And so your job, I know, I know that was a lot what I just said there, but your job is just to take your next step on the path. You open to what's within you. You open to whatever's happening in this chakra center, and you say yes to it. Don't be afraid. You have a pure heart, my friend. All of you tuning in, you have a pure heart. Listen to your heart. Open your heart. Rest in this space of innocence, and whatever comes to you, whether it's your human animal nature, whether it's an emotional nature, whether it's anger, sadness, grief, jealousy, work with it with love. Open to it, trust yourself, and do not give up. I'm meeting so many individuals who want to throw their hands in the air and say, "I've had enough, Craig." And listen, I understand the path is hard. The path is action is absolutely hard. But we live in an evolutionary world. One of the things that the Buddha realized is, I am responsible for my own happiness. I, not anyone else. I'm going to let go of my thoughts. I'm going to let go of my emotions. And I'm going to discover what I am beyond thought, beyond despair, beyond sadness, beyond attachment. He set out to know what is it that I am? What is it that I truly am? Beyond these things, beyond these storms of emotion, these storms of desire. And so, Vishal, I will say in a human way, again, I'm not the kind of teacher that teaches celibacy. I think celibacy can be an important practice at different stages in the journey. I think it's important to have sexual integrity. Not being addicted to anything or chasing women or this and that. And so if you have a partner you love, share the intimacy of your sexual nature with her. That's part of the gift of being a human being. But I can laugh when I say this, but I was actually outside the Sri Aurobindo ashram in Pondicherry, India. And I was at like a little cafe having lunch. And there was this German guy who was sitting down next to me at like another table. And he was talking real loudly. And he said, "Isn't that the point of life, to chase girls and to get laid?" And I thought, oh boy, I hope not. I hope there's more than that. I hope there's more than that. And so again, I'm not, someone living like a monk saying that, our sexual nature is wrong. It's not. It's a beautiful thing. But as you open and really discover the energy, the true energy of the root chakra, it is beyond imaginable. Beyond imaginable what we are. We're not here just to be animals. are here to be quite extraordinary. And all of us have this potential. All of us have this possibility. And so, yes, that's a beautiful question. Thank you so much for that. I think there was another question. If it was Suzanne, if you had a question, just let me know. I thought I saw another hand raise up. But in the meantime, I'll get to some of the email questions here. This one's from my good friend in England, Kiara. She says, Craig, I seem to be coming up against my personal will a lot lately and an inability to let go and let God take the reins. I wonder if you could talk about this inability to let go of control. I sense that there might be some anger at God wrapped up in this issue, or at least some mistrust there. Yeah, and Kiara, this is it's a very common thing that when we come into the world and we get beat up by life, or we grow up in a family that, excuse me, where our parents aren't absolute angels and supportive. Sometimes our parents do more harm than good. We tend to have a mistrust for God. We tend to struggle with the idea of God because, from one perspective, when we're a child, our parents are God. And from the perspective of truth, God is the ultimate parent. But what most of us forget here on planet Earth is that we live in an evolutionary world. And so in an evolutionary world, things are hard. Things are difficult. They just are. They just are. But things can become much easier if you connect with your absolute divinity. So if you find the supreme innocence within you, and from that place, call upon God to come into you. Call upon God. And so when you had a tough life, it's hard to trust. It's hard to open. It's so much easier to complain and to fight and to, sometimes our ego just repeats what our parents did. If our parents were grumpy, we tend to be grumpy. If our parents are anxious, we tend to be anxious. And so what I want you to have faith in is there is another way. There is another way. And so if you can find, excuse me, if you can find that spiritual warrior in you, that goddess, and say, I'm going to go forward. Despite what my emotional nature is telling me, despite what my habitual nature is telling me, I'm going to go forward. Forward to God. Forward to the truth. Forward to discovering the innocence of my heart. I'm going to walk forward no matter what. And make this your commitment. So many of us here on planet Earth we're committed to our egos, which is crazy. We're committed to repeating the past of our ego. We're committed to committing, pain over and over again. We're like that hummingbird I was talking about in the beginning in my garage, who kept trying to go up and just hit its head, its poor little head, on the ceiling again and again and again. You know, I was really afraid I was going to go out there and find it dead laying on my garage. But at some point, it looked down. And it just realized it just had to go down, 1 foot, to get beneath the header of the garage, and then fly out the big open space. Kiara, you have a beautiful heart. You are a goddess. You are a warrior. I'm asking you to trust in that. And to trust that you are here as a being of light, to share light and love in this world, not to suffer. God is not trying to punish you. She did, though, create an evolutionary world, and that's something we cannot control. One of the things that the Buddha taught is when there are causes and conditions of the world, and they're unchanging, it's healthy just to accept. Accept, okay. We live in an evolutionary world. I'm going to accept that. I can remember I personally spent years of my life arguing with that. With that, God, why did you make a world where people suffer? The why doesn't matter. What matters is what you do, that you show up. That you show up. Okay, she has a second part to her question. Craig, I wanted to add that what makes it hard is observing this inability to let go and my anger at God. Is that alongside it is a deep longing to have a connection and relationship with God. Yeah, this is exactly, what I've been speaking about. At some point, we have to simply fall on our knees and surrender and say, almost like, excuse my language, but just like, fuck it, I've tried. I've tried, the ego way. I've tried the anxious way. I've tried the fighting way. I'm going to fall on my knees, admit defeat. Defeat of the ego, and open my heart to God. Open my heart. Open my heart. And you surrender again and again and again. Until surrender is simply a state of being. It's truly the only way to live on the path. And when you begin to live in this way, this is one of the prerequisites of true spiritual awakening is not to surrender one time, but you surrender into infinity. You give your will to God. You give your will over and you surrender again and again and again until you realize yourself as radical openness, immeasurable love. Absolute, indestructible presence. And so this is the path. This is the path. Okay, beautiful. Okay, it looks like Suzanne has a question. Suzanne, I'll release the mic and then you can go ahead and ask it. Suzanne, maybe we lost you there, but if you have a question, just let me know again, and I'll let you pick up the mic again. We can try again in a minute. So, okay, here's a question from Jake. He's wrote me a really long email, but the gist of it is he's been reading a book by a spiritual teacher, and it's about Kundalini energy. And okay, let me just read it here. They take spiritual aspirants through an intense process. So this is at the organization, the spiritual center, and they move Kundalini into certain places in the body, clearing and purging and being with the process. The school teaches that the world is an illusion. However, I feel deflated when I hear this. I'm 26 years old. I've barely been in the world. I'm troubled by this idea. I get the gist of it, Jake. So, Jake, yes, it sounds like this isn't the group for you. So there's many people who teach Kundalini Yoga, and they teach it in ways very strict. And they teach about the Brahmacharya path. To the path of celibacy, and you do all these complicated breaths, and it's all about clearing and opening. But see, my friend, you have your own unique journey, and you have your own unique chakra set, isn't it? There's different things that are happening within each of them. And so instead of doing complicated Kundalini breath work or pranayama, I invite you to see, Jake, that if you simply become quiet, open your heart, and notice that there's something good here. Can you be with that? Can you open yourself to that? Can you open yourself to that which is true? That which is good, that which is beautiful about your own self. That's your path forward, my friend. You don't need to be a part of anything complicated. Now, if you wanted to be a monk and you felt like your heart absolutely resonated with this particular tradition that you're reading about, then I encourage you, go, join it, investigate it. But if right away you're feeling like this isn't the place for me, then call upon God and say, God, bring me my teacher. Bring me my true teacher. Show me the way. Guide me. There's hundreds of paths out there, my friend. If your heart doesn't fully say yes, yes, I want this, then it's not your path. Now, you may learn something from them if you stick around. We can learn something from anyone. But it doesn't sound like it's your path. I want your heart to light up and you to feel like this is the best thing ever. The best thing ever. So, you follow your truth, not someone else. Not someone else's. So thank you. Beautiful question. Okay, let's see here. Okay, this one's from Suzanne. What if, Craig, in regard to the chakra centers, what if you've had organs and glands removed that are associated with the chakras, like a thyroid or a full hysterectomy? Does that affect the chakras around the flow of Kundalini? No, absolutely not. It does not. So it's really interesting. You know, individuals who've had literally like their arm cut off, they still have their subtle energetic body, and they still have an arm there in their subtle energetic body. I know that's a strange example, but oftentimes what does happen, though, when we have a surgery and we're missing something, like say if we've had a full hysterectomy, or if we've had, you know, throat surgery and had a thyroid removed or whatever it is, oftentimes the body, there's trauma there. And so it's important that we do a lot of healing work to open that center again. Because the body, you know, when we have surgery, you know, the doctor puts you under, and then, you know, she might start to cut you open, and that's traumatic for the body. And so whether it's a surgery or, you know, you've been in a car accident, the body tends to hold pain. It's a very slow moving consciousness. And so it's important that you do healing work around that. And so almost always where someone's had a surgery, oftentimes that chakra center is closed, or it just has pain there. And it's very important, you know, that you open that center, you meet it with love, you hold it, you talk to it. And so, yeah, your chakra centers are always there. You know, if we cut off your head, you'd have a, your chakra centers would still be there. Of course, all that energy would be floating out and going to heaven, but yeah, they're still there. And so that's a fun question. Okay, one more question here. Craig, when the Kundalini seems to be flowing smoothly and strongly, and there is an overflow of liquid back down the throat, it feels quite lovely. Can you tell me what that's doing? Yeah, so some people get this both ways. They literally, you know, when the throat chakra opens and the jaw opens, sometimes the body, like on a physical level, can do all these strange things with saliva. And if anyone's read the Gopi Krishna's account of Kundalini awakening, he just had tremendous amounts of saliva in his mouth and this and that, and it was all quite strange for him. But when that center opens, basically you start to experience this flow of nectar. Sometimes in the yogic traditions they call this amrita. Amrita. And so, you don't have to worry about it, but you just open to it. And your body will show you all kinds of wonderful, mysterious things, as you open to the seven chakra centers. And so sometimes the energy will flow up, sometimes it will flow down, sometimes it will circulate. Oftentimes it goes up the spine and then down the front. But yes, it's so beautiful what can happen within you. There's many times when I'll just walk down the street and, some new heaven world will open up within my consciousness and God will show me something new. It's truly extraordinary what we are. What we are. And so for those of you who get a little confused by all these questions by Kundalini, don't worry about it. If your Kundalini is not flowing or it's not exploding, don't worry about it. You all have seven chakra centers. And within each of the chakra centers is another realm of awakened experience. And so I invite you to explore those centers. Explore your divinity. So often I find that people in the non-dual world, they just explore the transcendent realm, vast, spacious emptiness. But my God, explore your heart. Explore the beauty and the innocence of your heart. Experience the feeling of oneness and unity with all of life. Open in the belly and experience this mountain of emptiness that descends deep into the earth. Open in the root chakra and experience the oneness with matter and the hugeness of this whole divinity. I mean, so much is available to us. Life can be so rich when you open and explore the hugeness of what you are, of what you are. Okay, beautiful. So I want to thank you all. Let me just see. One last question. Well, a lot of questions on Kundalini. Hi, Craig. Do you help people with awakening and raising Kundalini? I generally don't try to awaken people's Kundalini because it's such a wild process. But sometimes when people spend time with me, their Kundalini does spontaneously awaken. It happened with my teachers, David and Ajahshanti. It just tends to happen when you're hanging out on the spiritual path, when you're around a teacher who has, some level of grace. If their Kundalini is awake, sometimes it will awaken within you. It's rare, but it does happen. And so, no one needs to get scared about it if they've heard, silly stories about Kundalini. But I never force it open. I never teach people to do crazy breaths. I'm more of the approach of, if God wants it to wake up, she'll wake it up within you. And for you to listen to that. But I do invite you to awaken your heart. Invite you to awaken to your sky like mind. And for individuals who awaken in a sky like way first, where you feel your nature is vast, spacious presence, everything else tends to go a lot easier after that because you can always count on just a state of Zen like sanity and clarity. And so if some of the overwhelming things start to happen, like what Vishal was speaking about, or some of the other questions, you have this presence of spaciousness and freedom That is your base. And you're not overwhelmed by ego. You're not overwhelmed by, any crazy feelings in your body. You see them with clarity. You meet them with love and compassion. And you let them empty out of you. So beautiful questions. And I apologize if I didn't get to all of them. I'll do my best to put them on for the questions for in 2 weeks. And so a reminder, I will not be teaching here online on August 5th, but I will be here the following weeks. Thank you all for showing up. Thank you all for your donations. If you want to support this satsang, you can visit craigholiday.com. There's a PayPal link there. God bless you all. It's been such a wonderful evening to be with you all. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you. Good night.